Today's Lockdown Eagles is brought to you by Pepsi. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com today to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Eagles fans? Welcome into this Friday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase here on January 1st. Guys, we got through 2020. Hell yeah. Screw 2020. Let's get moving forward here in 2021. Happy New Year, and let's get moving forward in a positive way, not just, I think, in everybody's lives, but for the Philadelphia Eagles, because while 2020 just sucked in general, the Philadelphia Eagles and their struggles at 4-10-1 kind of represent the year as a whole. So I'm glad that this is the first episode in 2021, and we can start hopefully getting some more positive vibes going on the new year. But again, Happy New Year, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 4 this week of 5, downloaded into your phone when you subscribe to Locked On Eagles on any podcast platform. It can be Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify. I don't know where you guys listen to podcasts. Is TuneIn Radio still a thing? If it is, we're available on there as well. All platforms, as well as Megaphone, which is our home base. You can also follow us on Twitter, always talking birds after the show, at Locked On Birds, and my personal Twitter account, which is where I don't stop talking about all things Eagles and sports in general 24/7. I live on Twitter at DiBiase, LOE. Coming up on today's edition of the podcast, we're going to get into the Eagles injury report from Thursday and Friday, which makes it seem like the Eagles are going to be shorthanded, would be an understatement, against Washington on Sunday in the season finale, which is maybe a good thing. I think the Eagles might be tanking this game. I don't know how many of these players are seriously injured. I think all of these players have been dealing with injuries all year, right? You always hear that at the end of the season. 2017, after the Super Bowl, you heard Alshon Jeffrey was playing with, what, a torn muscle in his shoulder, and, you know, Fletcher Cox is playing with a broken foot or something. I mean, everybody's always dealing with injuries. The severity of it, though, I'm not sure how serious it is. If this was a game, like if they beat Dallas last week and this game needed to be won to win the NFC East, I guarantee you a lot of these players would be playing. So I'm not saying they're not injured, but I do think losing, helping the Eagles potentially get a top three pick at the best this week, definitely does incentivize the team to be a patient and conservative with these injured players. And so we're going to get into that on today's show, as well as Doug Peterson said a lot in his Friday press conference with the media about a lot of things when it comes to his offensive philosophy, when it comes to the assistant coaching staff. But what I really want to get into is what he said about Carson Wentz and about what the priority this offseason will be if Doug Peterson is the head coach. And so we'll get back into the quarterback position, which we haven't really talked about a lot this week, coming up on today's edition of LOE. But first, let's get into the injury reports from Thursday and Friday. I think the Eagles are tanking against Washington, and that's a good thing, because there's been too many times over the years where the Eagles win this meaningless Week 17 game, which pushes them down the draft board, right? You look at 2014, where the Eagles were already eliminated from playoff contention at 9-6. They blew that 9-3 start, first place in the NFC East after a blowout win in Dallas on Thanksgiving. They lose, what was it, three straight games? And they totally blew their chance of making the playoffs. But Chip Kelly wanted to have another 10-win season under his resume, under his belt. And so they won that meaningless game with Mark Sanchez, Week 17 against New York. That pushed them down the board, and it cost them a player like Brandon Cooks at wide receiver. And instead, they took Marcus Smith, who we all know is one of the biggest busts in Eagles draft history. So I'm glad that they might be pretty self-aware of, you know, they're pretty aware of the situation, and they're self-aware enough to say it would be in our best interest to lose this football game. So while the players are never going to not try, right, Jim Schwartz talked about this week a no-hat policy, because if Washington wins at the Link, they clinch the NFC East. So you don't want a division rival to win the division on your turf. But that really doesn't matter that much. The Eagles need to lose this game. And so, again, the players are going to try, but the Eagles, it looks like, are going to make sure none of the good players are actually out there. Jalen Mills was placed on the COVID reserve list. Derek Barnett did not practice at defensive end. Defensive tackle Fletcher Cox did not practice again on Friday. He missed practice as well on Thursday with that stinger injury, a neck injury. Left tackle Jordan Mailata dealing with a concussion. He did not practice, so it looks like the tackles for Jalen Hurts might be Brett Toth and Matt Pryor. So that's a disaster. DeSean Jackson did not participate in practice again. Tight end Dallas Goedert as well. And Miles Sanders all missed practice either on Thursday and or on Friday. And again, that's a good thing. I don't think any of these players are seriously injured, but the Eagles are going to want to be conservative because it's in their best interest for the future to lose this game. Again, the players are never going to not try, so that's not what I mean by tanking. They're going to want to make sure Washington does not win the NFC East at the Link, 100%. Again, Jim Schwartz said no hat policy on Sunday. However, the team itself, the coaching staff, I'm sure Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie have say in this as well, they're going to aim for a better draft pick. Right now, the Eagles would be picking at 6th overall. You could get this week with a loss and some help. You could get as high as the 3rd overall draft pick. So, obviously, the Jaguars and the Jets, they have the top two picks locked up. But if the Houston Texans win, and again, they don't have their pick, but they'd be picking right now, according to takeathon.com, Houston, which is now it's Miami's pick, but they'd be picking 3rd overall. If Houston wins on Sunday against Indianapolis, if Atlanta wins, and if Cincinnati wins, so if those three things happen, if the Falcons win, the Bengals win, and the Texans win, and the Eagles lose to Washington, the Eagles will be picking 3rd overall in the 2021 NFL Draft. So if you want Jamar Chase, you got him. If you want Micah Parsons from Penn State, which is to me like an Isaiah Simmons kind of prospect, a do-it-all defensive weapon, a Swiss Army knife from Penn State, you can have him. 3rd overall, if you want to take Justin Fields, you might have a chance, depending on what the Jets do. It's 2nd overall, if the Eagles are going to take a quarterback, Zach Wilson from BYU. Pretty much at 3rd overall, you have full control of what you want to do outside of Trevor Lawrence and then one other prospect. So that's huge. You need to lose this game because you could be picking 3rd overall. The Eagles need that kind of draft prospect. They have not had that kind of impact player come out of the NFL draft since Carson Wentz in 2016. And outside of Carson Wentz, really in this last decade, how many impact, like franchise altering players have the Eagles gotten out of the draft, out of the first round even specifically? I mean, Brandon Graham in 2010, but that took, you know, 4+ years for that to come to fruition. Danny Watkins was a bust, obviously. Oh, so Fletcher Cox, 2012, got to give them credit for that one. And Lane Johnson. So they did kill it in 2010 to 2013. They hit on 3 of 4, but after that, it was a disaster. Marcus Smith, Nelson Aguilar, then you hit Carson Wentz, Derek Barnett, very average. 2018, you didn't have a pick. You take Dallas Goedert in the 2nd round. And then in 2019, you take Andre Dillard, who might be losing his left tackle of the future status to Jordan Mailata. And then in 2020, Jalen Reagor. So they need to hit on a first-round pick for the first time in 4 years, 5 years, 5 drafts. And again, the higher you're picking, just it's the probability of landing a top tier player is just, it's higher. It's, you're just more likely to get a better player at 3rd overall or in the top 5 or even in the top 10 than compared to where you're normally picking, you know, 19 up, like in the 20s. When you're picking in the 20s, that's, you know, again, it's a first round talent, but it's still, it's not nearly the same kind of sure bet as, you know, again, there's busts across the board in the draft, including in the top 10. But again, it's just, it's easier to hit on a top 5, top 3 pick, especially when you have a GM like Howie Roseman, who's going to be making the pick. We need all the help we can get in Philadelphia. So you could be picking as high as 3. Again, if Houston wins, Atlanta wins, and Cincy and you lose, but you could also be picking as low as 10 if you win that game against Washington. So that's why this loss is critical for the Eagles' future. And I think when we're talking about what positions the Eagles need in the first round, we're definitely talking about the presence of a true wide receiver one. Like, you need to get Carson Wentz, Jalen Hurts, whoever the top quarterback is in 2021 for the Birds. You've got to get him a true wide receiver one, which you've not had. Carson Wentz has never had. Jalen Hurts hasn't had in Philly. I mean, the Eagles in general haven't had a true wide receiver one in a very, very long time. I guess you could consider Alshon Jeffrey that in 2017, maybe DeSean Jackson that in 2013, but like a franchise altering wide receiver is something this team really needs. And so Ja'Marr Chase is that top prospect coming out of LSU. And so do the Eagles have a chance at him right now at pick six? They do, but the teams in front of them, I don't think Chase is going to fall to six, because I think right now, again, Houston would be picking third overall, but the Dolphins have that pick. I think the Dolphins, if they're still committed to Tua and they're not going to take a quarterback there, like let's say Justin Fields falls or Zach Wilson's there and they decide they're going to stick with Tua next year, what are they going to do with that pick? I could see them taking a wide receiver, because if you're going to try to make Tua work, go get him a top receiver prospect like Ja'Marr Chase. So I think they could take Chase, and also Cincinnati, which is they're picking right in front of Philly at five. You know the Bengals would be enticed, even though they have T. Higgins, even though they have Tyler Boyd, and they still have A.J. Green, although I think this is his last year with the Bengals. You know the Bengals would be enticed, and they would be really intrigued of the possibility of adding Ja'Marr Chase back with Joe Burrow. That connection from LSU that won the national championship. Joe Burrow, your first overall quarterback last year, get him his former top receiver out of LSU. And so the Eagles right now, they're not picking high enough, I think, to get Chase. And I'm comfortable with Alabama receiver Devontae Smith, too. I think he's nearly as good as Chase. Smith is a Heisman finalist in 2020, but I do think Chase is the consensus top receiver. And I just want, for once, the Eagles to have their pick of the litter. So they need to at least get ahead of Cincinnati. I'm not saying they have to pick third overall, but if they want a chance at Ja'Marr Chase, again, I think they need to be ahead of Miami and Cincinnati, but they need to at least be ahead of the Bengals, because I think it's a foregone conclusion. If Chase is there at five, Cincinnati is taking him. So the Eagles got to get ahead of the Bengals. They've got to maybe get ahead of the Dolphins as well to get that top receiver they want. Or again, just to have optionality. And so they need to lose on Sunday. And it looks like they're probably going to, because they do not have a lot of pieces on either side of the ball to work with. Again, Derek Barnett did not practice. Jalen Mills is going to be out for this game. Fletcher Cox likely as well. Jordan Mailata, DeSean Jackson, Dallas Goedert, Miles Sanders. The list goes on and on of key players that missed practice on Thursday and or Friday. But again, that's an important thing. The Eagles need I'm all in on wide receiver one. Like, that's what I'm gonna keep talking about here when it comes to the Eagles draft status. They need a true wide receiver one. That is the most crucial thing. Like, if your focus this offseason is fixing Carson Wentz, or maybe it's even just seeing what you have in Jalen Hurts and giving Hurts a real chance in 2021 to be your franchise quarterback, you've got to get him a true top receiver. And yeah, people are wondering if they have the right coaching staff in place to build up a quarterback to fix Wentz. Do they have the right guys? Can Doug Peterson be the one to fix Wentz? Are these the right coaches and front office members to not ruin another quarterback in Jalen Hurts? That is totally understandable. But I think the biggest key to fixing Wentz or making Hurts the guy is just to have better players. You need better players on offense, and you need better wide receivers. A true wide receiver one, I think, is the biggest key to the Eagles quarterback position in 2021. I mean, just look at what it did for some young quarterbacks this year. Josh Allen should probably win MVP this year in Buffalo. And why did he take that huge leap in year three? The Bills went out and traded a first round pick for Stephon Diggs, who leads the league in receiving yards this year and receptions. Sometimes people say receiver isn't that important if you have a top-tier quarterback. I agree that an offensive line is more important for a quarterback, but a true top receiver, their importance, it should not be understated. You see that in Buffalo with Stephon Diggs. You see that in Arizona. The Cardinals go out and trade a second-round pick for DeAndre Hopkins, who might be the best receiver in the game, and you see what it's doing for Kyler Murray in that Cardinals offense, which is being held back by Cliff Kingsbury and that basic play calling that I just don't think is going to work. But it doesn't really matter. The Cardinals have still been a top offense throughout 2020 because they went out, they got a true top receiver for Kyler Murray. The Eagles need to see that, and they need to try to replicate that trend in 2021. You're not going to maybe do that in the way of how Arizona did it or Buffalo, where you go out and trade for Odell Beckham. While that could be on the table, because I think OBJ wants out of Cleveland, I think more so the Eagles are going to try to do that through the draft, but it won't be like last year where you're taking a guy, the third or fourth or fifth receiver prospect on the board. It's going to be the top guy in the draft. It's going to be what I thought last year was CeeDee Lamb, although Henry Ruggs was the first pick. This year, that's going to be Ja'Marr Chase, or it's going to be Devonta Smith. So the Eagles need to make sure they have at least a chance at getting those guys. And I'm not sure if the Eagles are even all in on taking a receiver first. Again, they could take a guy like Micah Parsons. They need linebacker help badly, and Parsons is a guy that I think you can play all over the formation. But again, I just want that optionality, and that's going to come through a loss on Sunday against Washington. Coming up next on Locked On Eagles, Doug Peterson today to the media talking about how fixing Carson Wentz should be the priority in the offseason. That makes me really happy. However, I have some thoughts about this I want to get into coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles. And guys, today's show is sponsored by BetOnline.ag. Right now, it's bowl season in college football. We've got the NFL regular season wrapping up this week, and then the playoff picture hits next weekend. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust for all your football bets, and that's BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON for your 50% off welcome bonus. Again, that's 50% off at betonline.ag with the promo code LOCKEDON. You've got individual bets, futures, parlays. Right now, when it comes to the games, the Eagles are 3-point underdogs. So Washington right now is at -3, and the over-under is 43.5 points. So any kind of bet you want to make, head over to betonline.ag. BetOnline, your sportsbook experts. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into this Friday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase here riding solo, and we're getting into the Eagles potentially tanking this game away on Sunday against Washington, because that could get you as high as third overall in the 2021 NFL draft. They got to make sure, I mean, they're guaranteed a top 10 pick for the first time since 2016, but at the same time, you want to make sure you have that optionality. You want your pick of the litter in this year's draft, whether that's a quarterback, whether that's a receiver, whether that's a linebacker, whatever it is. And so they need to lose on Sunday against Washington, and they need some help. I think they need Houston to win, Atlanta, and they need Cincy to win if they want a chance at a top three pick. And if they want a chance at a guy like Ja'Marr Chase, the top receiver, I think, coming out of the draft out of LSU, or even Devonta Smith. Devonta Smith might go ahead of pick. Right now, the Eagles will be picking at sixth overall. Would you be surprised if Miami at 3 tried to pair Tua back up with his former top receiver at Bama in Devonta Smith? And if not, let's say they take Ja'Marr Chase, would you be surprised if the Bengals took Devonta Smith for Joe Burrow? I wouldn't be. So again, I'm all in on a receiver in the draft this year for the Eagles in the top 10. I think that's the key to fixing Carson Wentz. It'd be the key in trying to make it work with Jalen Hurts in 2021, but you need to get higher up the draft board to have a chance, I think, at Chase and or Smith. That's, to me, how you fix Wentz over anything. And to me, that's the priority this offseason, is fixing Carson Wentz. The priority is obviously getting the quarterback position right. And Doug Peterson talked about that today to the media. And it was good news. It was, you know, news to my ears. That's not even the saying. What is it? Music to my ears? Yeah, that's right. Where Doug Peterson talked about today fixing Wentz and how that needs to be the focus. That's awesome. Of course, I'd like to hear it from a guy that's his job is safer in Philly, because we still don't know if Doug Peterson's going to be the coach in 2021. I'd love to hear that same sentiment from Howie Roseman, because as much as Howie should be the one that gets fired this year, he's not going to. He's safe as the general manager. So I'd love to hear in his end of the year press conference, and they'll ask him about it for sure. They're going to go ham on these quarterback questions when Howie finally meets the media, because he dodges that all year round. He is not obligated to speak with the media throughout the regular season. So I'd like to hear Howie say the same thing, because I don't know if Doug is safe yet, but it was good to know if Doug Peterson's going to be the head coach this year that he is committed to fixing Wentz, and it's not just, okay, we're moving on. We're not even going to try to fix this guy after 10 bad games. I think that's literally insane. Especially considering the contract status. Like, if you had an easy out and Jalen Hurts just lit the league on fire in the final month of the season, you know, and like the Colts said, we'd give you a first-round pick to reunite Frank Reich with Carson Wentz, I'd be like, okay, I guess it's more reasonable. But again, like I said on the last podcast where I talked about a patience issue in Philly, in this Eagles organization, in the NFL in general, like, if you're going to not even try to fix Carson Wentz after four really good seasons and then 10, while they were abysmal games, he was maybe the worst quarterback in football through 10 of 13 starts this year. Again, it's 10 games. It's a 10-game sample size versus 4 years. Like, patience is a key thing here that the Eagles need to find at the quarterback position. And so I'm glad that at least Doug Peterson showed a little bit of that patience and understanding on Friday when it comes to Carson, because the fact that so many people, you know, media members, fans, national media, local, you know, fans across the board, I'm seeing on Twitter, there were so many people, even after one start by Jalen Hurts against the Saints and that second one against the Cardinals, while they were both impressive, the amount of people that were so willing and almost eager to trade Carson Wentz at that point and move forward with Hurts as the guy in 2021, I think is just insane. Again, there's just a patience issue in Philly, in the NFL, and so I'm glad that Doug Peterson, if he's going to be the guy, is going to try to fix number 11, because to be honest, as much as I like Jalen Hurts as a player, I think he has a really long way to go, especially as a passer. Like, there is nothing he could have did in four games to convince me, at least, and it should be for you too, that he should be the unquestioned guy next year. It's too small of a sample size for Wentz struggling this year, but it's also too small of a sample size for Hurts in general to know what you have in Jalen. And so while there's been a lot of positives, there's been a lot of good things to take from his game in three starts as a second round rookie quarterback that got thrust into the fire after a franchise quarterback got benched. You have no weapons on offense, injuries everywhere. Your coaching staff sucks when it comes to setting up the passing game. And so it was an impossible situation for Hurts as he's trying to keep the season alive. And so there was a lot of good that there was a lot that he had to overcome, and he did. But at the same time, as a passer, if I'm going to be convinced that Hurts could be the guy over Wentz long term, I needed to see way more as a passer, and he in that area, a long way to go. And you saw that on Sunday against Dallas. Jalen Hurts in the first half of games, in the first initial 20 play game script, really good player. Jalen Hurts this year in the first half, 63% completion percentage, 9.1 yards per attempt, 5 touchdowns, no picks, only 2 sacks taken. However, when defenses adjust and it comes down to just execution, right, where Doug Peterson can't hold his hand, he can't keep the training wheels on, when you're in a close game in the second half, the defense adjusted, and you just got to go out there and be a franchise quarterback, that's when Jalen Hurts has struggled, at least as a passer. Again, in the second half, he's still making plays outside of structure with his legs as a mobile quarterback, but as a passer, he is struggling mightily in second half of games. A 48.6% completion percentage is what Hurts has in the second half of three starts this year. 6.7 yards per attempt, going down from 9.1 in the first half of games, 1 passing touchdown and 3 interceptions, and he's taken 10 sacks. Again, first half, 63% completion percentage, 9.1 yards per attempt, 5 touchdowns, no picks, 2 sacks taken. In the second half, 48.6% completion percentage, 6.7 yards per attempt, 1 touchdown, 3 picks, and 10 sacks taken. Like, that shows you that he's not even close yet as a passer. According to Pro Football Focus, too, here's another stat that is a little bit concerning, and I'm not trying to drag Jalen Hurts, I'm just trying to show you that we haven't seen enough to make a definitive statement, and we haven't seen enough to be convinced that Wentz should not still be the priority in 2021. We have not seen enough from Jalen Hurts, and we were never going to. It was only four games, but this just shows that he's a second-round rookie quarterback. According to Pro Football Focus, Jalen Hurts leads all quarterbacks in uncatchable, inaccurate throw percentage at 28.8%. So, again, I like Jalen Hurts. I love his ability to create outside of structure. A lot of these bad numbers are also a knock on the coaching staff, on the play calling, on the wide receivers, on the banged up offensive line. Like, it's a team sport in its purest definition. And so stats don't always tell the whole story. Like, 100%, got to use context. You have to contextualize everything. But at the same time, it does show you, and your eyes tell you the same story when you watch the game, that Jalen Hurts is still not even close to the passing talent that Carson Wentz has been in four of five seasons. So they've got a long way to go, but Doug Peterson says still, if he's the head coach, it looks like Wentz is going to get the first shot in 2021 at being your franchise quarterback over Jalen Hurts, over a first round draft pick potentially. But again, it's Doug Peterson. I want to hear that from Howie Roseman. I want to hear that from Jeffrey Lurie before I'm fully convinced, because Doug Peterson might be fired next Monday. We'll see. Black Monday coming up in just a couple days, where a lot of coaches get fired, a lot of people lose their jobs across the NFL after week 17. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Friday edition of Locked On Eagles. Guys, it's sponsored today by the best tasting protein bar out there at Built Bar. 18 amazing flavors, 6 new ones. You got caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. My favorite go-to of the 12 OG flavors, I like the orange vanilla or the peanut butter brownie, but honestly, it's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Bars are covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew, but they're a healthy alternative to your everyday snack. 19 grams of protein in every bar and only 180 calories. Go to BuiltBar.com today and use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, and you're going to get 20% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into this Friday edition of Locked On Eagles. We're wrapping up episode 4 this week of 5. Make sure to get number 5, and if you missed any of the other shows, subscribe to Locked On Eagles on any podcast platform, and we're always tweeting the shows out as well, at Locked On Birds, and my personal Twitter account is at DiBiase, L-O-E. In segment 2, I talked about how Doug Peterson wants to fix Wentz in 2021. I hope that's the case. I hope Doug keeps his job. You guys know I want Peterson to be the coach next year. I hope that this is the same belief that Howie Roseman has, because he's a safer person in the building right now. Like, he's not going to lose his job as GM, whereas Doug could lose his job as head coach, although I think that's very unfair, and Howie should be the guy that gets the boot. He's not going to. So I liked that Doug wants to fix Wentz. I do want to hear that sentiment, though, as well from the owner and from the GM. But it's, again, it's a crazy offseason. There is a lot at stake here, and there's no clear-cut decision. Like, what they should do, there's no obvious call. Like, again, as I said a couple days ago on the show, in 2016, you knew where the rebuild was going. You knew what the focus was. You needed a new head coach. You needed a franchise quarterback. That's how they were going to start. Because they were at rock bottom after firing Chip Kelly. They had to build that entire roster back up. They were blowing it up. They blew it up and had to make a total rebuild. And you have to start, when you do that, with a head coach and with a quarterback. This year, while it's still a rebuild, it's not as simple. You might still have the coach. Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl less than 36 months ago. You might still have the quarterback. A year ago today, Carson Wentz was the hottest quarterback in football, leading the Eagles to 4 straight wins in December and winning the NFC East and making the playoffs. So you might still have those guys. You might still have the GM. As much as I hate Howie Roseman, he did construct a Super Bowl roster less than 36 months ago. So while I think there needs to be real change made within the organization this year, I think someone needs to lose their job, or at least have a guy that's brought in to give that guy support. If it's a new, you know, if it's a Dorsey as the second GM with Howie, or it's a new offensive coordinator that splits play calling with Doug Peterson, or if it's, you know, Jalen Hurts competing with Carson Wentz this summer for the starting quarterback job. I think something big needs to happen. But again, there's no obvious thing that needs to happen. We don't know what it's going to be. Can you justify firing Howie Roseman? Hell yeah. Can you justify firing Doug Peterson? Sure. Can you justify trading away Carson Wentz and or benching him again next year? Yes, they're all reasonable, but none of them are obvious choices. And so that's really the tough part. What I will say about the quarterback position, though, if we're going to go with a plan that isn't what Doug Peterson talked about today, which was fixing Wentz, if we're going to go with something else, for me personally, I'm taking, like, if Carson Wentz is not your quarterback in 2021, if you've made that decision right now and you're trying to find another option this offseason, I would much rather, we already talked about how the Eagles could be picking as high as 3 overall in the 2021 draft, based on, depending on what happens on Sunday. If that's the case, and they want a new quarterback, if it comes down to a prospect in this year's draft, like Justin Fields, if he falls, let's say the Jets keep Sam Darnold at 2nd overall, they take Ja'Marr Chase maybe, right? They get Sam Darnold, a true wide receiver 1, they try to fix him instead of hitting reset on a new quarterback. If Justin Fields were to fall to 3rd overall, or let's say you want to take Zach Wilson out of BYU in the top 5 or the top 7, I would much rather do that than ride with Jalen Hurts unquestioned next year. That doesn't mean I don't want to give Hurts an opportunity to win the starting job if they keep Wentz. Like, I think that's reasonable. But I don't want there to be a plan in place that includes Jalen Hurts being the guy, and that's it. You trade Wentz, you don't draft another quarterback, it's Jalen Hurts. For me, if we're going to have a quarterback plan that does not involve Wentz being the priority, I'm taking a quarterback in the first round. It's not like Jalen Hurts, as much as I like him as a player, he's not some top 5 pick, some top tier quarterback prospect that came out of the draft that you sold the farm on, and you need to give every opportunity to win the job. He was a second round draft pick that was supposed to be a high end backup option for you. He was not supposed to be what he is right now, which is a potential alternative plan to Carson Wentz. That's not what, as much as some people want to give Howie Roseman credit for maybe foreseeing this happening, Hurts wasn't supposed to be that. He was supposed to be a backup for Wentz. And so I don't think Hurts needs to get the same treatment or commitment, this long leash, that I do think Carson Wentz deserves. And so again, if Carson's not the guy next year and you have a different plan in place starting next week, I'm not going to pass on the chance for a top 10 overall quarterback pick because of Jalen Hurts. For Carson Wentz and fixing Carson Wentz, I'll do that. If Wentz is going to be the priority this offseason, I'll pass on Fields. I'll pass on Wilson. I'll pass on Trey Lance out of North Dakota State. I'll pass on one of those top quarterback prospects. But if Carson's gone, or he's not the answer anymore, or the priority maybe, and it comes down to Hurts or one of these guys, as much as I liked what I've seen from Hurts in three games, he is not, to me, a top three quarterback prospect that was going to be taken in the top 10. Obviously, he was a second round pick for a reason. And so I like him. I think he can be a really good starting quarterback in football in the NFL, which he's already shown a pretty high floor of production. As a runner, you're going to have a pretty high floor. If you can scramble and make plays outside of structure, there's always going to be a role for you in the league in 2020 and beyond, 2021 now. But again, I'm not going to pass on the opportunity to get potentially a generational franchise quarterback. I'm not saying that's what Justin Fields is or Zach Wilson, but they are top quarterback prospects that are going to all go in the top 7, or at least the top 10. I think, you know, Trevor Lawrence and Fields, Justin Fields, they're going to go in the top 5, and I think Zach Wilson could go as high as 3. He could go as high as 2, honestly. The Jets could say we like him over Fields and Darnold, but I think, you know, all three are going to go at least in the top 10, and so potentially all in the top 5. I'm not passing up on that guy for Jalen Hurts, but I will do that to try to fix Wentz. So that's kind of where I stand right now at quarterback, and I think that's where the Eagles stand. I think that's where Doug Peterson at least is. Again, I'm really looking forward to when Howie Roseman talks to the media, because I hope they just grill him about the quarterback position, because he set up this really tricky situation, and so I want to see how he defends it and what he says is the plan moving forward. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Friday edition of Locked On Eagles. I'm going to sign off for now. We will be back tomorrow, though, for episode 5. So again, make sure you subscribe to Locked On Eagles for 5 episodes a week. Download it into your phone. There's not an Eagles podcast out there that's churning out more episodes than us right here on Locked On Eagles. And again, Happy New Year, everybody. Thank you guys so much for sticking through a really tough year with us. It was tough for everybody. It was tough for the Eagles. It probably wasn't fun to listen to all those podcasts 5 days a week during a 4-win season, maybe 5, depending on what happens on Sunday, but we reached over 500,000 downloads this year, and so we're really grateful for you guys sticking with us, and we hope we can bring some positivity and some entertainment to what was a pretty a season that lacked a lot of entertainment for the Eagles. All right, that's going to do it for me signing off. Follow me on Twitter at DiBiaseLOE. Follow our show page at Lockdown Birds, and I'll see you guys tomorrow. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.